Jack was alone in his room. At his insistence, Mildred had gone to meet with Ryan and the others to talk about the challenge they'd have in the arena in the afternoon. She said she'd be back in a few minutes, but she'd already been gone for quite a while now. It somehow sounded wrong to Jack. Blasters that didn't chill. The only reason anyone used a blaster was to chill. And to be able to point a blaster at someone, squeeze the trigger, and know that person wouldn't die, wouldn't even be hurt, wasn't right. Every time Jack held a blaster to someone's head, the only reason he did it was to blow the person's head apart. Not to scare them, not to hurt them, but to chill them. If he just wanted to hurt someone, he could always use his knives. But as crazy as he thought this contest was, at least when they'd won it, they'd be on their way with all the ammo they could carry. Even though they'd been well-treated and well-fed here, Aunt Mildred had been able to fix him up with the help of some of their medicines, Jack didn't like the place. There seemed to be little order in this ville. So many people doing whatever they pleased, and chaos seemed to erupt too often without warning. It was like paradise one moment, a hellhole the next, and you could never be sure which one it was going to be, or for how long. As far as Jack was concerned, it would be good to be out in the Deathlands again. The sooner the better. Just then, the door to his room opened, and the white coat named Katz entered. He had a small metal box with him, the outside of it a shiny chromed steel, that reminded Jack of the chromed guns he'd seen people carry in some of the eastern villes. Flashy, clean, but nothing anybody who knew anything about blasters would use. Katz flipped open the lid of the box.
How are you feeling?
Good. Where am Mildred?
She's with your other friends, getting ready for this afternoon's challenge. She said she'd be busy for the next little while, so she asked me to come by and give you your medicine.
Jack didn't believe that. Mildred would never send a stranger to do her work. None of the friends ever passed off responsibilities to anyone other than the people in their group. Nobody else could be trusted. Jack slipped his left arm inside his jacket and pulled out one of the leaf-bladed throwing knives hidden there. At that moment, a sec man entered the room. Katz took the shiny steel syringe from the box, lifted the pointed end toward the ceiling, and depressed the plunger until a thin stream of reddish liquid spurted out the tip of the needle. He moved toward Jack.
What that?
It will help with your pain and your fever.
A frown appeared on Katz's face.
Don't worry. It will make you feel very good.
Jack shook his head. The sec man grabbed him and pinned his shoulders. A searing pain burned in his wounded shoulder as the sec man pushed him back onto the bed. Cat sneered. Jack kicked him with his right leg, the toe of his boot connecting with one of his kidneys. The white coat fell back in agony. The sec man punched Jack in the side of the head with a beefy fist. The blow stunned the youth, but he remained conscious.
Hold him still, dammit!
Fucker's stronger than he looks!
The sec man punched him again, only this time he hit Jack's shoulder, causing the albino teen to see sparks of pain behind his eyes. The white coat was over him. The red liquid from the syringe was leaking onto the sheets, leaving tiny brown stains, like blood. Jack's left hand appeared from beneath his jacket. He flicked his wrist and caught the white coat in the throat. The man grabbed at his neck, rich red blood leaking through his fingers. But while Jack had injured the man, most likely fatally, the white coat was still able to stab the needle into his thigh and depress the plunger. Jack felt a coolness enter his leg. The thigh muscle tingled, and that tingly feeling quickly began to spread. His right leg went limp, feeling as if it was... He searched his mind for the word. Enchanted. Yes, that was it. His leg felt enchanted, as if it had been touched by magic. The rest of his body began to feel the same thing. Down to his feet, his stomach, arms, wrists, hands, fingers, all enchanted. And then his face tingled, and his head. His head felt as if it had detached from the rest of his body. He saw stars and butterflies. He saw women, all that he wanted. There was food, beef and corn and fruit. He saw Christina and Jenny. He spent time with them on the shores of a lake, loving each other, like a family. The white coat staggered toward him, the blood still pouring from his neck.
I'm sorry. Robots made me.
Jack wasn't paying the dying man any attention. He lay back on the cot, relaxed. and wishing that this feeling would never end. Ryan jabbed his chest with his thumb, then pointed to the others.
There'll be four on our team. Me, Christy, JB, and Mildred.
Doc stood with his sword stick in front of him and both hands on top of its silver lion's head handle.
I have no question about your leadership of this group, my dear Ryan, but I would not be much of a member of it if I didn't complain about not being invited to the party.
You'll be watching us, Doc, with Jack and Eleander.
Ah, I see. Well, excuse my little outburst. As usual, you have made an excellent leadership decision, and I ask that you excuse my ignorance for not seeing the logic of it immediately.
No problem, Doc.
I will make our little trio the best cheering section ever. Why, I remember cheering the Oxford Eights in a victory over Cambridge. I was so hoarse afterward that I could barely speak a word for a week.
I guess that's something to look forward to, then.
Let's get our gear together and have it all ready to go after the challenge. I want to load up on ammo and leave as soon as we're done, so make sure nothing gets left behind.
I'm not sure Jack will be ready to travel.
He'll have to be. The longer we stay here, the less I like it.
I'm with you, lover.
All right, then. Let's get packed.
Robards led Baroness Lashini on a circuitous route through the Baron's residence, making sure to take her up and down as many flights of stairs as possible. It was starting to irritate her.
Where the hell are you taking me?
The building is being refitted. There are rooms that are best avoided until they're done.
Oh, cut the bullcrap. You're just having your fun with me, and I don't like it. If I don't see the Baron soon, one of my sec men will open a window and start taking out citizens of this festering little vill of yours with his blaster.
Ah, here we are.
He opened the door to Baron Demand's office, then walked right through to the door that led to the back room. The large back room was outfitted like a pre-dark pharmacy, only not as clean. The shelves on all four walls were lined with dozens of plastic jars and bottles of different shapes and sizes. Some were filled with capsules, some with roughly made tablets, and still others with powders of varying color and texture. At one end of the room, there was a noisy pre-dark refrigerator that looked as if it had been remade several times, the last time fitted with a compressor taken from a cooling unit that had to have been four times bigger than the refrigerator. Cable snaked out the window to a noisy electrical generator outside. In the center of the room was a long freestanding island holding beakers, burners, and trays filled with medicinal cultures and viruses. It was marked with a faded and worn black and yellow card that read Biohazard. Baron Demand stood at one corner of the island, wearing a pair of crudely made black rubber gloves. He held a glass beaker in his hands. Inside the beaker was a cloudy liquid that looked a lot like milky water.
Still looking for the Fountain of Youth, the man.
The Baron didn't look up from his work, his eyes fixed on the beaker, as if it would do strange things if he took his eyes off it for even a second.
Baroness Lashini, a pleasure to see you as always.
I'd have less trouble believing you if you actually looked at me when you said that.
Baron Demand's gaze remained on the beaker.
If you'll excuse my rudeness, I happen to be working with a significant amount of hydrochloric acid, which, among other things, is highly corrosive.
Did you say acid?
Yes, a highly corrosive aqueous solution of hydrogen chloride. In pre-dark times, it was used industrially to remove zinc from galvanized scrap iron and in the production of chlorides and chlorine.
Like many barons, the Baroness never quite understood what Demand was up to with his chemicals and concoctions until it was too late. One story she'd heard about Baron Demand had him solving a dispute over Jack owed to Demand by a baron in Florida by tainting the water supply of the Baronsville with a type of bacteria. 42 people died, and more than 250 got deathly ill. The dispute was resolved less than a week later.
Usually the acid is diluted in water and might burn through clothing or cause minor skin irritation. This is pure, or as pure as I can make it, and it could eat through your flesh, muscle, and bone like a muti rat, only faster and more painfully.
Baroness Lashini swallowed, but showed no other outward sign of her discomfort, knowing Demand would be all over any perceived weakness.
What are you going to do with it?
Baron Demand poured some of the acid into a half sphere of plastic and then pressed a second half sphere over the first. creating a perfectly round ball filled with hydrochloric acid. He repeated the action with several more balls.
Let's just say it's a surprise for the one-eyed asshole who murdered my brother.
She herself had wanted to chill the outlander who had killed her son, but a round from a blaster didn't seem to be as fitting as what the man had in mind.
You wanted to talk to me about something?
Not as much talk to you as tell you that I appreciate you allowing me to watch the outlander suffer.
The Baron finished filling the balls and had a few drops of acid left in the bottom of the beaker. He poured them out onto the wooden top of the table, and the wood bubbled and smoked as an inch-deep line was burned into the surface.
Oh, he'll be suffering, all right, because his death is going to come oh so slowly.